Good morning, everybody. Happy July 4th. This is Inside the Program. I am standing in for Joe, and this is, of course, brought to you by our wonderful sponsor, Academy Sports and Outdoors. Quick thing, too, Eric. IT is running a promo right now up until the beginning of the season, so only $1 until 8:30. You can join the best board in the game, best conversation, and, of course, best inside news. You're going to get a little bit of a taste of that in a few seconds. Also, our man Paul Wadlington just dropped his 13th annual 2025 Longhorn Football Prospectus, Thinking Texas Football. Paul's a little bit wordy on his titling, as you guys can tell. So make sure to go buy Thinking Texas Football. All the links are in the description. You can get a print copy. You can get the e-version. And it's going to be the best breakdown in the world of Texas football, but also SEC opponents going forward. There's no better preview than this. We look forward to it every year, and Eric even has his own recruiting section in it. Eric, enough with the promotions, man. Let's talk some team news, dude. All right, first things first, we saw this week that Arch Manning, due to our friend Paul Feinbaum, is going to be the best quarterback since Tebow, so that's set off the firestorm. So we might as well just check in real quick. What's the fast Arch Manning update, dude?
I mean, it's funny that Feinbaum would mention Tebow because that's, you know, obviously who the journalists loved and the media hype machine was behind. Tim Tebow wasn't a better quarterback than Joe Burrows. I mean, you know, let's just be honest there. The NFL kind of proved that out. But I think that Arch is going to be the best quarterback since Joe Burrow. I do think that. I don't know if it's going to be game one. I don't know if it's going to be game six or in the national semifinals. But I do think that Arch Manning is going to be the best quarterback to come out of college football in a long time. And that's backed up by what he's doing right now. Pinpoint accuracy, good enough, strong enough arm, loves to throw the ball deep, but accurate over the short and intermediate. And really does a good job of getting everybody involved. He's not just going to his first read. He's going to his second read. He's hitting the running backs. He's hitting the tight ends. He's hitting the wide receivers, really taking advantage of the entire Steve Sarkisian playbook. There's a lot of reasons to be excited about Arch Manning. I think Feinbaum might just be diluting it to his last name, though. But we're going to go for a little more context and nuance on why we think Arch is great.
Yeah, he's an evil genius. Even as he says these takes, his lips start to curl in a smile because he knows how much Twitter is going to love it regardless. Okay, so we have a good quarterback that we're really excited about. We think he's going to be able to upgrade the offense. But we need to kind of figure out, too, you know, who are the pass catchers here? Do we have any updates? I don't think we have anything on Mosley or anything like that. But who else have we heard about in the wide receiver room that are doing some cool things?
Well, we mentioned Emmett Mosley last week. You know, good, savvy route runner. Strong speed, not great speed. Not Texas speed like we've come to know it in the last couple of years, the last couple of NFL combines, but fast enough. This week, Source wanted to talk about Dalen McCutcheon and Ryan Niblett. Ryan Niblett making plays from the slot, although Niblett is more of a running back, so he kind of a motion out, get the mismatch that Sark's looking for, and then hit him on the corner route. Niblett caught a really good corner route this week. And then, you know, we haven't heard about him in a week or two, but it's common to hear about Dalen McCutcheon really since spring football. Good all-around player, able to step in for DeAndre Moore if they needed to in the slot. Kind of brings a lot of the same elements that DeAndre Moore brings to the table. Really complete receiver, good enough speed to get deep, but also savvy, smart, over the middle, reliable guy. Looks like a future player for this team. Could be quality depth this season.
Man, for a first-year player, we've heard his name consistently throughout spring, too, so that's a really big deal. And then Niblett, hopefully he has some kind of Keelan Robinson to him, right? You see him on the field, maybe you know something's up. So you can move him to the slot. You can keep him at running back to catch passes. That'll be something that could help make up for what Jaden Blue was used for in the pass game. Okay.
Yeah, lots of 21 personnel with him, but it's going to be motion him out or motion him in or just line him up and let him play running back as well. But a lot of times where the play starts or where the pre-snap starts, it's going to end up in a different place when he's on the field.
Wide receiver, that was interesting, but we also, turns out, need some guys to protect Arch. We have good enough overall bodies in the offensive line room, but we're looking more for tackle body types. We're running a little low there. We do expect some potential good news later in the day in the recruiting front. But as far as this current team, what's the word with tackle? You know, we have the battle at right tackle as well.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes with the recruiting. Obviously, Texas has to do well today in that regard, but that's the future. We're talking about the present. Depth at offensive tackle is a bit of a concern. I think it's not just a concern I have. I think within the program, they're trying to figure out, hey, do we have as much depth as last year? They felt pretty good about Goosby, and Goosby had to fill in for Banks and Cameron Williams. Do they have somebody that can do that this year? It would have to be Nick Brooks. That's not exactly what you're looking for. You know, you don't want a true freshman to have to be forcing the action if that's the case. Long-term, it's still a concern as well. They've taken a whole lot of offensive linemen. I'm not sure that they've taken a whole lot of offensive tackles. I don't want to get controversial on here, but I think this is a big year for Kyle Flood to address all of his issues, have a fully functioning offensive line that's matched those to his player strengths, less penalties. I think the offensive line is the most important position going into this season. Feel great about the defense overall, feel good about offensive skill. But, you know, offensive line has to pull its own weight. That can't be the reason they don't win a national championship in year five under Steve Sarkisian.
100%. And then also, I think they need to improve in those short yardage run games, and that leads us into running backs. So we know Trey Wisner, the typical thing, a ton of snaps last year, big leader. We still expect that to remain consistent, but we have a couple backs coming back from injury. Is there any updates, kind of how that room's shaking out? Because I know fans are excited / nervous about the running back room.
I don't think they should be nervous. I think they should be excited. As it was put to me recently, you know, it might have taken a while for Baxter to get back to the field, but once he got back to the field, he hit the ground running. There's no let up on him. He's going 100%. I'm not saying he's 100%, but that's how he's working. And right now, he's with the ones in 7-on-7 work. It's him and Trey Wisner rotating with the ones, and then you have a whole group right behind them, Christian Clark, Jared Gibson. Right now, Baxter's looking pretty dang good in workouts. It's quite exciting. Let's see what we hear when the pads come on. But honestly, that's probably when he's going to look even better. That's where you can bring his new size and his speed and his downhill ability to bear. And I think he's going to be matched well with the new running scheme. But right now, it's him and Wisner with the ones for the most part. I do think Baxter will be on a pitch count a little bit earlier in the season, not necessarily because they need it that way, but because it's going to just be better for him over the course of the season.
Yeah, and he used that time during rehab to get significantly bigger. There was a picture of him and Wisner standing next to each other, and CJ's just like a massive dude. So, you know, you can lose strength when you rehab, but a lot of people come out physically stronger because you're having to do those grueling physical therapy stuff. So he's looking good. He looked like he added some weight. Before we hit the defense, because we got a ton of cool notes there, let's hear a word from our sponsor. Guys, Academy Sports and Outdoors is offering 10% off for military and first responders. This ends today, July 4th, so make sure to go on and use that. You can use it online or at your local Academy Sports and Outdoors. Again, this is your last day to use it, so go take advantage of that, guys. Exclusions do apply. Visit academy.com/discount for details. Take advantage of it, guys, and we appreciate all that you guys have done. All righty, man. So this offseason, we took every transfer defensive tackle that appeared in the portal. Now the question is, how does this shake out? And so is there any updates on kind of like the depth chart, who's leading, or is it just a free fall?
It's a futile effort right now. I expected to hear more of what I heard last week, and then I started hearing good things about Hero Canoe, and I hadn't really heard those since spring football with him. Apparently he's pushing to start. So I have no idea. We need August intel rotations, how they're shaking out, who the best duos are. You know, they're going to find the right pairings. It's not just about 1A, 1B. It's about finding – it's about matching all the 1As with the 1Bs. They've got about six guys that are pushing right now to start here and think good things about Alex January, Marad Watson, we talked about last week. I don't know how – Travis Shaw was mentioned again this week. Cole Brevard's mentioned frequently. They've got guys – I think they've got five guys they feel like they're are capable of starting. And, you know, starting, I think we tend to overrate the value of starting. You know, the saying of who finishes games is more important than who starts them is key here, because that's how Texas operates. You know, Bill Norton made big plays for Texas last year. Yep. I think that they're going to work to find the best mix and match of them. But, you know, we're going to learn a lot more about that in August. They don't really do enough right now to tell us, you know, how it's shaping up. But we're hearing good things about each of them. And I'll take that as a good thing at face value. You know, August we'll get a better idea of who's holding the point of attack well, who's keeping the linebackers clean, who's freeing up the edges to make plays, who's making plays in the backfield. We got a lot to learn about this group, but I feel really good about what I'm hearing right now.
Yeah, it's an interesting mix of talent. So that's going to be a big key for me, is if we can have that room figured out, man. We've seen what defensive tackle's done for us the past 3 years.
Yep.
You mentioned edge. So this is interesting because we have our true edges. Then you have this kind of mix of linebackery types like Brad Spence of Arkansas as a pass rusher. Mm-hmm. So what's the deal? Trey Moore kind of playing that weird tweener role too a little bit. What's the deal with the buck position, the pass rushing linebackers, and then also over at Jack?
Yeah, you know, what we reported when Trey Moore came back was that he was going to be on the field a lot more with Colin Simmons, not it wasn't going to be one or the other. And that's still holding true. That's going to be the case. So you'll see Trey Moore playing Jack or, you know, whatever that role is, taking Burke off the field or sliding Burke inside maybe. Trey Moore will be out there a lot with Colin Simmons. But if you're looking for like a straight one-to-one backup, it might be Colton Vasek as the backup to Buck. And then Zena Umuzulu most likely behind Ethan Burke right now when they're in their traditional, you know, 2-4-5. Then when they go to base, yeah, bring in Justice Terry playing defensive end. And also Lance Jackson figuring in at the Jack rotation as well. They've got a lot of guys that they can use. They got a lot of different looks and skill sets. They can mix and match with whatever they're trying to run behind them as far as scheme goes. We're going to hear a lot. Again, another thing, I don't want to defer everything to August, but that's traditionally when they start scheming up the packages and we start getting a better idea of how they're fine-tuning all these pieces that fit together, what they like to use in certain situations. You know, last year they used Dime very effectively. I know that Ian has done a really good job of breaking that down. I expect to see more of Dime, but we're not hearing that necessarily. That's not really when they're trying to institute it. The coaches don't have enough time with the players to put in all these things. In August, that'll change. But right now, I'm loving what I'm hearing on the D-line. You know, I know that we don't have as much clarity as we'd like at D-tackle, but I like the options. And then at edge, I absolutely love the options.
Yeah, and I'm excited, too, to integrate Spence kind of on the edge, too, because that Arkansas pass rusher was.
Oh, yeah. Did I not even mention Spence? I'm sorry. Yeah, I was thinking of information from 2 days ago. So now, yeah, the latest information is Brad Spence has been working with edge quite a bit. I think that is more about – you know what? I think that's a sign that they're leaning on Trey Moore quite a bit. And so, what happens if Trey Moore is injured or whatever, and they're getting a lot of value out of that package? You could just have Brad Spence do that. Brad Spence was an edge rusher in high school, a very effective blitzer at Arkansas, so he can actually fit in. He could play edge. He's a credible college edge. I said that recently, and it's kind of funny that they're using him there, but also still a linebacker. It's not really that he has skill set issues at linebacker. I think they're just looking for different ways to get him on the field.
Yeah, man, it's third downs are going to be a nightmare, man. Like, you could just,
yeah.
I don't even think you need defensive backs. You could just put all edges on the field in Texas to be able to do it. But speaking of defensive backs, we have an important battle at corner. Jalen Gilbo moved from nickel to corner, kind of trying to follow the Jahdae Barron path. But is there anything update there? Because he's battling with the young gun, Kobe Black.
Yeah, you know, I was asking just about coverage and trying to glean what I can from scheme. You know, they're running a lot of cover three, even more so than last year. And, you know, the reason they feel like that, they feel like they can be even better against the run than they were last year. They were good against the run last year. It was probably, you know, maybe that was the Achilles heel if they had one. They feel like if they, you know, more cover three will help the run game. And you can only do that if you feel good about the corners. And so what's interesting to me was when somebody mentioned the corners, they mentioned Muhammad and Kobe Black first. And I caught him. I said, "Hey, man, you mentioned Black before Gilbo, huh?" And he goes, "Well, they're going to have a big battle in August, but Kobe Black is playing really well right now." So very excited about Kobe Black. It's a reminder, and I've never come up with a name for this, but that we need to come up with some sort of name for this. But there's an intersection between talent overtaking experience, which if that's the case, if Black beats out Jalen Gilbo, it will be more of a talent over experience thing. We've seen that in years past. Sometimes it takes longer for guys to get past. Sometimes it happens almost immediately, depending on the talent level of the person chasing them. But right now we're hearing really good things about Kobe Black. Offers a lot of excitement in August. But that's going to be a battle to watch along with defensive tackle. There's going to be legit competition at that position.
Cool. And then I know me and you are excited for the future of the defensive back room too. We have a ton of young guys that are going to be a big deal. Did the source mention any of the freshman guys?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Mark Orfeh comes in and it's clear that he's got these length preferences. Well, he inherits a guy, you know, like Cade Phillips at corner. Yeah, I just put it to my guys, like, you know, Cade Phillips is going to be an NFL player. He's like, "Oh, he's of course going to be an NFL player. He just needs to put on weight and keep learning and all those things." Though Cade is looking good. Now, the problem with him, he's got Kobe Black ahead of him. This will be a little bit of a year, but I'm sure he's going to be internally. He might be a little bit frustrated of not playing as much as he'd like. But next year, Gilbo will be gone. Cade Phillips will get his rotations, but he's going to be a player. Asked about Caleb Chester just because I hadn't heard much about him since you know, getting in the program in the winter, and yeah, he's doing all the right things too. Bigger kid, you know, moves well. You know, not as explosive as Cade, but moves well. Smart kid, physical, does all the right things. You know, total program guy. you know, that's half the battle. When you come in and do what the coaches ask of you, they're going to play you. And you're already talented enough, you know that. You wouldn't be, if you weren't talented enough, you wouldn't be there. So he's looking good right now. It's just that corner is just stacked. I mean, you've got, you know, on one side, you've got Muhammad, Warren Roberson, Santana Wilson, and then the freshman. The other side, Gilbo, Black, and then probably Phillips. It's, you know, it's a long path to the field, but once you get there, that, you know, that you're very likely to see some NFL paydays.
Good stuff, Eric. Thank you for delivering the team news on this wonderful July 4th. Y'all celebrate responsibly, but also celebrate with a $1 subscription to Inside Texas running until the first game of the season. Y'all know by now, you've seen the videos. It's the spot to be. Y'all enjoy your July 4th and be responsible with your fireworks. Have a good day, y'all. Peace.